Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Shavua Tov. Well, I tell you, the Shavua has been very, very tough for us so far as we welcome U.S. Vice President Pence. And how would he put a date on it? Didn't put a ring on it, but he did put a date on it.
Well, if you like it, you got to put a date on it, Rolene.
Exactly. I'm not going to dance, Howard. Something should not be seen.
Right, lucky we're on radio, Rolene. Luckily it's radio. So, date for what? For anybody who hasn't been following?
Well, if you haven't been following, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence arrived in Israel. He was warmly welcomed by Prime Minister Netanyahu, and he addressed the Knesset today in a landmark speech where he said that the embassy – are we listening, guys? Okay.
Yes,
the embassy would relocate its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem by the end of next year. So coming to Jerusalem by the end of 2019 is the U.S. embassy. He also said that the U.S. will not allow the Iranians to get a nuclear deal, and they will be, this is the last time they will be doing sanctions, and they will be fixing the nuclear deal. And apparently he spoke to numerous standing ovations, but of course being the Knesset and of course being Israel and of course being in a volatile region, it was not without its drama. And several Arab lawmakers were ejected from the plenary session as they launched a protest over the repeated recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And, you know, Vice President Pence reiterated and stressed again just what President Trump stressed last week. He said just last month President Donald Trump made history. He righted a 70-year wrong. He kept his promise to the American people, and he recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. So it all looks very, very, very good. And he said that Trump is fully committed to achieving a lasting peace between Israelis and Palestinians, and he did meet with King Abdullah of Jordan yesterday, and the king spoke about the fact that Jerusalem was holy to Muslims and Christians as well as Jews, and but nobody's discounting that. And he has also said that any peace is not possible without the United States participation. And meanwhile, if we look to the streets of the West Bank or Gaza, the Palestinians are burning posters of U.S. Vice President Pence.
Oh, so how does that work? Do they buy the posters and then burn them? Because, I mean, I don't have posters of Vice President Pence lying around my house.
Well, I mean, it's absolutely incredible how quickly poster industry can, you know, just whip
them out.
I'm
thinking it's a business. It's really a business. And it's a disposable, effectively, in those areas, isn't it? It's like a consumable.
Absolutely. I mean, I think perhaps they have, you know, Western leaders on standby for, you know,
well,
for a burning
thinking, you know,
of an effigy near
and,
you.
And flags. I mean, do you know how many Israeli and American flags must be purchased in order to be burnt in some of these areas?
You know, I was just
Rolene,
about to
there's
say
a business in this. We need to talk about
that. That's quite an incredible business.
Yeah. Because one would have, you know, intuitively, one would have thought that there's no market for Israeli flags in these areas, but quite the contrary is true.
Well, thank you to them, because they're keeping our flag-making factories in great business.
I'm liking this. I am liking this, Rolene. We're definitely onto something here. Speaking of which, Abbas is to appeal to the EU to recognize a Palestinian state. How's that going to go down?
Well, he's actually met with the EU, and he's met with Mogherini, who's the Secretary General of the EU. And while she has declined to comment, that's about as euphemistically as I can put it, Howard. She did not say a word about his horrendous speech last week, Sunday, which effectively has torpedoed any kind of peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians, because he used some of the most horrendously anti-Semitic terms. But the European Union has assured President Abbas that they support his ambition to have East Jerusalem as the capital of a Palestinian state. I mean, we are moving towards Erev, International Holocaust Memorial Day, and his horrendous Holocaust denial and his comments about Israel being a colonial project of the guilty Europeans certainly did not seem to register with Mogherini. And Mogherini went on to say, I want to reassure President Abbas of the firm commitment of the European Union to this two-state solution with Jerusalem as the shared capital of two states. Clearly, she didn't get the memo where he refuses to recognize Israel. So, you know, it's one thing to say two-state solution, and a lot of us are supportive of a two-state solution. But like the question, which I'm sure you get asked often, I know I get asked often, Howard, where is the Palestinian Mandela and de Klerk? You have to have mutual recognition before you can sit down at any negotiating table.
So are you saying that the fact that he stood up, I think it was last week Sunday night, and spewed the most vile rhetoric and refused to even acknowledge that Israel has a right to exist, does that not impact on how the European Union sees Mahmoud Abbas?
Apparently not. Apparently he can spew whatever venom he wants to.
Isn't it incredible? I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, Donald Trump can say something that maybe he did say and maybe he didn't say, and if he did say, it was pretty ugly, but doesn't really rewrite history in any way. It's just an offensive comment. And the world media and Twitter and social media goes completely mad. Mahmoud Abbas can stand up and spew the most terrible lies about a Jewish nation, about Israel, and he's completely non-accountable for it.
Well, there you go. I mean, I think perhaps there's no coincidence that there doesn't seem to be a word in Arabic for accountability, and this is why.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. And as we continue this kind of drivel, Lebanon has now banned a Daniel Radcliffe movie. Is this going to be a trend now? Daniel Radcliffe, was he in the Israeli army?
He wasn't in the Israeli army, but apparently he played. First of all, Daniel Radcliffe is Jewish.
Yes.
And he played
Israeli
in a movie.
We like him as one of ours. You're right.
But we are seeing a horrendous trend, because not only has this movie been banned, but so has the new Spielberg movie, which is about the Washington Post around the time of the Watergate scandal and Richard Nixon. And that stars Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep. And that's been banned because, you know, Steven Spielberg, Jewish.
But they don't hate Jews. They just hate Zionists, even if they aren't Israeli.
Well, this seems to be very evident. I mean, I don't think that Meryl Streep or Tom Hanks runs around draped in an Israeli flag or has served in the army, but it seems that their movie is being boycotted, and it's no coincidence that it is being directed by Steven Spielberg. And there seems to be a blacklist of movies that you can and cannot screen in certain countries. And this particular movie, it's called The Post, has been added to the blacklist, as well as the movie that Daniel Radcliffe is starring in. It's called Back from Tucci. It's a story of a Israeli guy who was lost in the Bolivian jungle for a while, and his name was Yossi, or is Yossi Ginsberg, and Yossi, because there's always a Yossi, is being played by Daniel Radcliffe. I mean, it's an incredible story of survival in the Bolivian jungle near the Tucci River, and it has now made the list of movies to be boycotted. This in addition to Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman, and it seems to be that you cannot wear Lebanese designer Elie Saab if you are Gal Gadot either.
You know what? Ultimately, Rolene, Lebanon will get what is coming to them if they are allowing the government, if the people of Lebanon allow the government to continue to behave in this way. Ultimately, they will land up like Iran or any other one of those countries. It's unfortunate, and it's a train crash waiting to happen. But ultimately, I promise you, it makes very, very little difference to the box office takings and the way these movies reflect success or not success.
But let's just keep on this theme, because I've got my soapbox ready here. I even have the high-heeled shoes ready, which looks very odd with the outfit I'm wearing.
Yeah, but it's not the point.
This past weekend, we saw the women's marches taking a place across America. And notably absent from these, from the Women's March, were anti-Israel groups such as the Palestinian Right to Return Coalition, Jewish Voices for Peace, Code Pink, BDSLA, Jews for Palestinian Right of Return, and other organizations who boycotted it. Why did they boycott the Women's March, Howard?
I don't know. I know why. Because the same women refused to support the women of Iran. That's why.
Well, but apart from the fact that they're silent on the women of Iran, they're silent on the Rohingya woman, they're silent on women around our neighborhood who are not allowed to own land or work in certain careers. In some countries have only been given the right to drive, need a chaperone, are subject to honor killings. But the reason that they are boycotting, or they boycotted the Women's March, I mean, this from somebody, this from a march steered by Linda Sarsour, who said that feminists cannot be Zionists or Zionists cannot be feminists, which I take huge exception to, having met with a whole room of feminist Zionists from around the world last week. But they say that they cannot support the Women's March because Scarlett Johansson was a spokesperson. Let me just reiterate that. Jewish actress Scarlett Johansson was a featured speaker. I mean, obviously they didn't get the memo when Natalie Portman was a speaker as well. And they say that Johansson is a supporter, an unapologetic supporter of illegal settlement in the West Bank, a human rights violation recognized by the international community, and that she says, and that human rights for Palestinians do not matter to Scarlett. Scarlett Johansson resigned as a goodwill ambassador for Oxfam, which supports boycotting Jews in Judea and Samaria, because, drum roll please, she is the spokesperson and the face of SodaStream. I mean, it must be really, really contrary to human rights to employ both Palestinians and Israelis who quite happily have worked side by side and didn't need the drama until these little misfits came along and stirred incredible. Up a hornet's nest.
Absolutely incredible. Now, Julius is saying Rolene always has a soapbox. I think he means that. and Unsigned saying Hezbollah equals Lebanon government. Absolutely right. That is unfortunately a reality that...
I just have to respond to Julius with my soapbox. Mm-hmm. As long as I, as a woman living in the state of Israel, am allowed to voice my opinion, I will bring out my soapbox, honey.
I think even if you weren't allowed to voice your opinion, Rolene, you still would do that. But
you know me too well.
But that's just an aside. Time is 5:53. That was Rolene Marks with the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency. We'll be chatting to Rolene, same time, same place tomorrow.